It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome into the show. And let's start with the good. There's plenty of bad to get into. The Astros will provide that for us, and it feels like that is not something that we're going to have to worry about. If we want Astros news that isn't great, they're going to provide it. So we'll get to that a little later. But the good news is the Texans have secured Nico Collins. That extension news broke yesterday. He is locked in with the Texans, and I think it's a good deal all around. Nico gets his money early. Coming off 1 year of proven success, of course, if you are a Nico Collins backer, you'll say, how could anyone be successful when he's catching balls from Davis Mills and playing under David Culley and Lovie Smith with a team that wasn't trying to win ball games? The intention of the team changed in 2023, and Nico Collins had a great year. He showed up, particularly when there wasn't a clear option after Tank Dell got hurt. He was the guy CJ Stroud leaned on, and he backed up some of the potential, at least some of the belief in him when he was drafted. He wasn't a high draft pick, but there was some thought that maybe this was a guy who could turn into something given the right opportunity. And he's done that. And the Texans are in a spot where they could give him that money, the CJ Stroud contract, or really lack thereof when it comes to paying a guy who has performed the way CJ Stroud has done. Yes, short sample size or small sample size, but he's performed like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. You don't have to pay him like that, so you can go pay some of your other guys who've been in the league a little bit longer, Nico falling under that category. So he gets his money. And what does it mean going forward? It means, in my eyes, that this Stephon Diggs year is a true experiment. Because you have a guy you're paying like a number one. It's not the biggest contract for a wide receiver when you compare it. It's not bigger than what A.J. Brown got. It's not going to be bigger than whatever happens with Justin Jefferson whenever the Vikings come to a resolution with him. T. Higgins is out there. Jamar Chase. These are all guys who are probably going to make more than Nico Collins. But Nico Collins is in the top 10 when it comes to wide receivers being paid. So they reward him. In fact, right now, he is right at number 10 with the $72.7 million value on the contract. The average salary is $24 million a year. He falls under Devontae Smith, just about $700,000 under Devontae Smith. Cooper Kupp is up there too. But the guys who have recently gotten deals like Calvin Ridley, who got one this offseason, is at 23 per year, but the signing bonus gets Calvin Ridley above Nico. So it's good business. Another year with Nico playing the way he did in 2023 makes him probably a 29, right around there, 27, 28, $29 million wide receiver. The Texans get him at value. And because of the way contracts are going, with Jalen Waddle still on the table and T. Higgins still out there, who knows where the money would reach to for Nico. So you avoid that complication. He's locked in, and Stephon Diggs is a guy who will be looking for a deal, and he's older, but generally that doesn't matter for players. They don't take into account that their age can play a part in how a team values them. If they put up numbers, they're going to want their money. So I don't think you're paying two wide receivers upwards of $24-plus million a year. I think you're paying one. And if Stephon Diggs has a great year and looks to his left and sees Nico getting his money, he's going to want something similar or better. He's going to point to the Pro Bowls, the production, the experience, and go, hey, I'm that guy. Give me that money. I'll take a three-year deal, but you're going to give me a $27 million as far as average salary deal. And I don't think the Texans are paying Stephon Diggs that. So it's not a double-edged sword. You hope Stephon Diggs plays to a level where he can demand that contract and not be out of his mind. I just think if he gets to that point, we're going to say goodbye to him. Because if he's that player still, which I don't think he really is, someone's going to pay him. It may not be three. It might be something where it's a two-year deal and he's getting somewhere like $56 million for 2 years. And I'm sure that'll be just fine. I say I'm sure. I don't know. Maybe Stephon Diggs wants a long-term deal that pays him into his 35 and 36-year-old years. Don't think he's getting that at his age, but that's a guy who will benefit from Nico Collins being around. They'll benefit from each other being around. And Tank Dell, obviously coming off an injury, will be another piece for this Texan wide receiver core. The one thing that did strike me about the signing yesterday is they had Nico Collins in a shabby ass room. Have you seen the picture, Sean, of where the picture of him with his agents and the official signing of his deal? If you've ever been, a lot of you, just because of what you do for a living, aren't going to be in a position where you're in the Texans media room. Some of you are, if you've happened to be a freelancer, whether it be photog, or you're freelance writing for the Texans on game day. I used to cover the Texans on a daily basis for their practices, and they would stick you in this media room, and this was under the Kubiak era, where you didn't watch practice, but you sat there during game weeks. You go to practice, you wait for practice to end. Kubiak speaks, you get a coordinator, and then you get to go in the locker room. But they'll stick you in the media room. You get to have lunch. You get to eat from the cafeteria. But for the most part, you're spending a lot of your time in that room waiting for players and coaches to be available. That room is for all the redesigning of the Texans, whether it be the uniforms, the team itself, the locker room. That room remains the same. I recognize that room. I spent a couple years in that room, and it's as shabby as it always has been. And it looks like the chairs are the same. They have not updated that room. Man, media, who cares? I don't mind them not treating the media to a spacious media room. But why is Nico Collins sitting in there with Drew Rosenhaus and whoever else that other guy is in that room? You see when a major deal is signed by teams, the team's official accounts will go, "We got our guy," or "Our guy's back." And sometimes they're in these really nice offices up with the executives, and maybe there's a picture of the GM smiling by as their guy signs the deal. Not Nico. I don't know where Nick Cassero was. I don't know where Cal was or Hannah, but they put him down in the bowels of the stadium signing that deal. They didn't. That's a photo op. Why is the photo op in the bottom of the facility with his agents in that shabby, drab ass room that I remember from years ago?
So you're saying that there might still be a hierarchy, given that I assume Stephon Diggs was, his photo op was in a nice conference room.
I don't know what you do when you restructure a deal. I'm not sure you even have to take a picture. I'm not sure that's necessary.
He restructured his deal.
Yeah, look, he's now in a 1-year deal. I don't think that happens. But whenever it comes down for CJ to sign the mega extension years from now, he won't be in that dirty ass shabby room. He won't be there. I gotta find out how that occurred. Why did that happen? I think it's maybe officially from Nico's account, or maybe Drew Rosenhaus account. I don't know where the picture came from. I just know it's on one of the Texans accounts, not an official account. One of the people who makes their living getting engagement from talking about the Texans.
I don't think they make their living like that.
Well, they're trying. They want it. They want that, or they're trying to find a path to make a living talking about the Texans.
Yeah.
One of those accounts did it. And what are we doing, Texans? Get the man upstairs. He's on the lowest level of NRG signing that deal.
That's for the next deal. Keep him hungry.
Wow. And that stood out to me. It's a great moment.
$75 million.
It's a great moment for Nico Collins. It's a great moment for the Texans to secure what you would assume now is their number one wide receiver. They're paying him like that. But get him out of that drab room. That's reserved for your special teams player who you bring back. That's reserved for the guy you specifically signed. Signed for. Have you? You just saw the room, right? It's ridiculous. Why is he down there? What's he doing down there? Signing that deal. All smiles.
It's
Nico.
Like the cement block.
This is what I'm saying. They put us down there, and I don't really care. I get it.
There's no windows.
Exactly. There are no windows in that room. You're in the bowels of the stadium. You're probably, I don't know, 100 feet or so, maybe more from the home locker room, and then maybe even a little less than that from the field. I forgot how it all breaks down. But I remember that room, and that's the place you decide to commemorate signing your big deal. We got to have a talk. Drew Rosenhaus, you're an agent who got him the deal, but get him a little extra.
Yeah,
get him upstairs. Nicer room. Get them upstairs with the McNairs or Cassario. Maybe they don't even have to be there. Get the Texans get the Texans social media team up there in a nice room where he can sign a deal. Maybe, are they remodeling the offices? That's why they had to put him down there? I don't know. It just looks terrible.
He's in a portable, like a high school's getting refurbished. He's in the mobile classroom.
If you didn't know what that room was, you'd think it was. You'd think it was a trailer. If I know what that room is, so I know what it is. But
honestly, I would have thought that this is where I had, like, again, Algebra 1.
Yeah.
In high school. It's like that kind of
one of
building.
Yeah, it's not one of the new high schools. It's one of the older ones who's may need a remodeling. And this is where the classrooms are. You walk in. It's like when Isaiah Worthy walked into the Chiefs locker room. This doesn't matter. I played at Texas.
You guys live like this?
Yeah. And Nico won't have – look, the Texans locker room has been refurbished. It's very nice. Hell, sign it in there. It's better imagery than where he signed it. That's my takeaway. The Texans, you've done great things. You locked down Nico. But the image coming out of it is one of we're still the 2022 Texans. We're the 2021 Texans. Yikes.
That is old Texans.
Yeah, I don't know how that came about, but that's a misstep.
I want to believe it was Drew Rosenhaus going rogue and just being like, no, let's take the picture right here.
Why did he want to be involved in that?
I don't know. He was also wearing a t-shirt.
Well, that's what Drew Rosenhaus does. He just wears t-shirts.
Really? I didn't know that's what he did.
Yeah, he wears a lot of – that's a guy who – I've made a lot of money for a lot of people, and I have a lot of money. I'm just going to wear t-shirts everywhere I go.
And it's his own like
– exactly. It doesn't have his own logo on it, too. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
It's not a great t-shirt.
No, it's not. Sometimes some guys shouldn't wear that t-shirt in that way. He wore it. It has his brand on it. Whatever. But get your boy out of the bowels of NRG for your photo op. Hey, but Nico's not gonna have to spend a lot of time in rooms like that anymore. He's got plenty of money going forward. He won't have...
I'll never be in here again. This is what he was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know if the guy still works there. I don't remember his name, but the Texans had a guy who think you might, he might not have been a chaplain, but maybe an advisor. I think guys would go down there. He was one of the guys that people really liked. You would see while we were in there, guys were coming in from practice. They would dap up the guy. I don't remember his name. He had an office in there. So I don't know if he still works there. I don't know if that office remains, but that's not a place. You commemorate a guy signing a big deal, and one of the now I guess you would say a cornerstone of your franchise. You're giving him that type of money. He is maybe only a name because we'll see what happens on the field as far as targets are concerned. But the money suggests he's your number one guy. Get that man upstairs. We got plenty to get to going forward. The Astros are as bad as that room. I'll say, guys, find the room. It's an ugly one. I mean, I think you look. Maybe it's on
go to Drew Rosenhaus's Twitter.
Yeah, go to Drew Rosenhaus's Twitter. Maybe it's on Nico's Instagram. I don't know. You can find the room. You know what I'm talking about. The Astros had a performance that matches that room. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back, and it's a very difficult time for me, mostly because news about the game of the summer, at least for Sean and I, is out. We've got gameplay reviews for media members who were able to play EA College Football 25, and all they want to do is read them, but we got a show to do.
Okay, why does all the news about this show come out at 10 o'clock Central Time?
I don't know why the embargo for this particular game and the news has to break at this particular
time of day.
The trailer
came out at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and it just so happens we couldn't do a show because of the weather, so we were able to watch it. This was back with the first storm of the last couple weeks. We obviously had a bad one yesterday where flooding was a major concern. Hopefully you guys all made it through. It was crazy. I got home, and my mother is always keeping track. She lives in Florida, so she gets weather updates, and I knew she was going to text me or call me about it, but I was already home. So I didn't have to deal with it. Hopefully you guys were able to avoid the worst of it. I know power went out for a lot of homes. And because the wind wasn't as big of an issue, according to reports, people were able to regain power far more quickly than they did the last time around. So it's been a rough couple weeks for weather. And it's happened in kind of
kind of, well, yesterday happened in the mid-afternoon, and the other one happened a little bit later. So hopefully you guys are all cool and okay and out there living your lives. I was going to get to the Astros, but, you know, we like to take calls as soon as people call in. You guys got things to do. You want to call in and disrupt this show, that's fine with us. What's up, Mustang Keith?
Hey, sports fellas. Hey, Dale, are you into horror movies?
I am a fan. I like watching them. They don't scare me, but they're fun to watch.
All right, okay, so there's a new one coming out that I'm pretty hyped up about. It's called In a Violent Nature. Do you know that one? Look up the trailer, man. It could be pretty
isn't
dang
that
awesome.
The one, thanks, Keith or Ryan. Is that the one where it's from the killer's point of view, the whole thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it. I'll watch that one. I'm all in. Like I said, I probably won't go to the theater and watch it if it comes out, just because I like watching a lot of horror movies from home. You know, set the mood.
Yeah.
And the mood by the mood, I mean middle of the day. I don't want to be that scared by things. So I'll watch it.
I feel you. I watch all my stuff at home too, but you gotta pair it with. You have to watch Cabin Fever, dude. You really do. That's all. That's all I gotta say. Later, man.
Appreciate it. Look at that. It's non-sports, but we didn't devolve into what we normally devolve into.
Into smut?
Yeah. We just got horror, not smut. I got to watch Cabin Fever. He's right. I don't remember watching it. Probably a clip here or there, but never the whole thing. And you're not in on horror movies, right?
No.
Yeah, you and Michael are the same. Michael brought a horror movie to the table a couple of weeks ago. I forgot what it was. I know I watched it. He said it was Abigail, I think he talked about, because he was that the one? Because he said it was more humorous than anything. I watched Abigail. It's a vampire movie, and it's fun. It's not scary, mostly because they give away the entire thing in the trailer. Like, hey, by the way, the little kid that they're kidnapping, vampire.
Spoiler.
Why? No, it's in the trailer. You can't blame me for what's in the trailer.
I didn't see the trailer.
Sorry. It's been out for a while. The trailer's been out for a while.
I'm never going to watch it.
Well, yeah, who cares about what you feel about it? You're never going to watch the movie anyway. But the trailer has a vampire. They give away the whole plot. How about you set it up where these thieves get more than they bargain for? We don't know. Set it up and then see if people watch it. The whole thing is the girl's a vampire, and it's the first thing you tell us.
Make trailers great again. I'll just leave it at that.
You want to put a hat on for that, too?
I do, but I want to take to the streets. Make trailers great again. Oh, trailers stink now.
Yeah, there's a trailer before the trailer. Five seconds of the trailer we're about to see.
Yes, there's the teaser trailer, which who cares?
No, I'm not getting teased. Literally inside the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
The trailer before the trailer. Yes. There's a 5-second trailer of the trailer.
And then they go.
Then they get to the trailer.
Shows the screen for like the release day or whatever.
Yeah, and then they get to the trailer. You're just, yeah, it's dumb. Trailers are terrible. Yeah.
And then they tell the whole movie. And
yes.
It's terrible.
Because no one can be excited just about anything.
Give me a 30-second trailer.
Give me a little bit. Just a little taste.
Give me a taste of Act 1.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But that's not how things are done anymore. And maybe it's one of the reasons the movie industry is in a little trouble. In a Violent Nature is, I'm looking at the mask the killer is wearing. It's unique. It's not something I've ever seen before. So it's out already. Gotten good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So thanks Mustang Keith for that one. But going to things that were a little horrific, the Astros in the 8th inning. This was another Hunter Brown game where I go, you can't lose it. Hunter Brown is now someone who, in consecutive games, the rest of the team has let him down, which is not something we were saying. He is at a point where, and yes, his last couple starts, really three out of the four, he's been pretty good, that you can say he's not the problem. Everybody else, when he starts, is a problem. And there's not a lot to say other than Presley pulled a Presley, Abreu was bad, and then Bregman was bad too. Three of the guys who have been most talked about as being disappointing. Well, Abreu, the Abreu thing goes beyond that. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Bregman and Presley have been disappointing. We expected those guys to be good. They have not been good. Bregman hit a two-run homer yesterday and then made up for it, or wiped it out, excuse me, by his throwing error. Now, a run was already going to score, which would, because he checked home, and that run was going to score, so he had to make a decision whether he was going to try to get that out. He didn't get the out. It led to another run scoring, and it wouldn't have mattered. The Astros didn't put another run up. Now, there's something to be said about maybe it goes differently if they're only down 3-2. I don't know, but they're down 4-2. They go on to lose the game. So they've lost the first two games against the Mariners. And I talked about it yesterday where the Abreu thing goes beyond him, and people can blame Espada. it's going to be the case now because he is the front-facing guy of this disaster. Because you can pick at the players on a day-to-day basis, but you always have the belief that at some point the players you know that have been good in the past are going to turn around. So who's the new variable? Although Espada has been a part of the organization, he's a new variable, and he's the easy target beyond Abreu because I think at this point people are just tired of it. They know he's going to be bad. There's no redeeming him. Now we're looking for someone to blame for burdening us with Jose Abreu. And Espada's a guy. But I think it's an organizational thing. I don't think Joe Espada wants to play Jose Abreu. He can say what he wants about giving him opportunities and he needs to get at bats, which I just find crazy that the Astros have decided in an important series against your division rival, let's just give this guy some at bats, see how it goes. Is this exhibition baseball? That's what spring training is for, to give a guy at bats. But instead, we know he's terrible, so we're going to put him in the eighth spot, and we're going to just give him at bats. He needs to get his groove back. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to do it in this series. And I know it's hard without playing, but you have played so poorly that you just can't give at bats away. That's where we're at right now. Forget about games. They can't even give at bats away because they're not good enough offensively to make up for a guy who you know isn't going to come through. And yes, I know he had the RBI hit yesterday, which is more than a lot of guys have done in this series. But the stat is out there. One of those Astro accounts who, once again, wants to be a person where maybe they make their living talking about the Astros. One of those accounts did this, or found this out, did the research. The Astros have scored in 6 innings of the last 54. Now, there have been multiple run innings. You think back, hey, didn't they score 5 runs recently? Yeah, that all happened in one inning. Out of their last 6 games, that's 6 consecutive games that they've only scored in one inning of those games. 48 out of 54 innings, they've been scoreless.
That's insane.
It's nuts. First of all, crazy. For someone to put themselves through that to go find that out, I guess it doesn't take very much.
Yeah,
but for some,
the box
yeah, true. But for someone to notice it and go, hey, this team stinks. What's going on? I'm sensing a pattern. And then they start documenting the pattern. And it's now the 6th straight game where they've only scored in one inning of the game.
And what's the record in those games? Is it 2-4?
Well,
or is it 3-3?
They will be 2-4. They're 2-2 in the 4 games since we did a show. Yeah. And now they've lost the last 2. Yeah, so.
Not good.
Yeah, so 2-4. Yeah, that's what you can say. Not good. And so the offense is bad. The pitching, well, outside of Presley, has been good enough to win in Seattle. And playing Jose Abreu is an organizational decision. I'm not blaming Joe Espada for it, excuse me. It's from the top. And it is trying to find any way to find value after that contract is blown up in their faces. And it's to the detriment of the team. We jokingly say he's a bad vibes guy. The vibe of telling your roster that we're going to put a guy out there who's not better than a potential replacement just because we're paying him a lot of money, I think could hamper the attitude of a clubhouse. They may like Jose Abreu, but we all know, whether we played at the level of what they're doing at the major league level, or we were in middle school playing pickup basketball, we know a guy who sucks. We know a guy who's going to hurt the team. We know a guy, if we give him the ball, if he's allowed to shoot, it's not going to go in, and it hurts your prospect of winning. Astro players got to know that playing him on a day-to-day basis hurts their chances of winning, and I think it speaks to where this organization is. They are focusing on the wrong things. The importance of the series can be magnified and really over-exaggerated because of the time period, and we know baseball's a long year, but there ain't no way this guy should be playing in this series in his first 2 games back. He was terrible in Sugar Land. Why is he playing in this series in his first 2 games back? Look, I know why Kristaps Porzingis is going to play when he comes back from injury. First of all, he's nowhere near as bad as Jose Abreu, but it's also the finals. So he's going to play, and they're going to have time to get him ready. And basketball is different. Basketball, Jose Abreu's problem is he sucks. Not that he was injured. Kristaps' problem is he was injured, but he was good when he left. And now he'll be back. So the Celtics will be fine integrating their missing player who's been away a long time and his first minutes are going to be in the finals, in the most important games of his career. But the talent isn't in question. The talent is in question with Jose Abreu. He should not be playing in these games, and the Astros are forcing him on their team and on our eyes, and it's a problem because he can't even make up for it defensively because he was part of the problem in the eighth inning too.
Yeah, it's I remember when we were talking about when he could make his return.
We thought it would be against Minnesota.
Yeah, we actively went. Well, it's not going to be against the Mariners.
No, it wouldn't be against them.
Not only is it because they have a whole bunch of good right-handed pitching, which is what Jose Abreu struggles against. He also struggles against average right-handed pitching and average.
He struggles against pitching. Yes,
but it's also an important series for your baseball team. They have a real chance to make up ground.
Make up ground.
Or they had a chance to make up ground. Now, the best they can do is split. So it didn't make sense for Jose Abreu to get the best out of Jose Abreu and get a soft landing for him or a soft-ish landing for him. It didn't make sense as far as being a competitive baseball team. It just – this whole Jose Abreu thing just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's no longer about him, except the Astros are making it about him because we have to watch him play. It's about what this organization has decided to prioritize. And apparently is, we paid him a lot of money. We need to get something for it.
Saving face.
Yes. It wouldn't be bad PR to not play him and to send him away back to Florida. Hey, maybe he takes his assignment. And you can't get rid of him that way. He's one of those loyal dogs. You send him down, you lose him in some place way distant from your home, and the dog makes its way back. Maybe he's that guy who will always try to find his way home. That's fine. But you know what? You don't have to play him. And that's what they're doing, and they're hurting their team. And now, along with Presley's bad inning and Bregman's throwing error, you are 5.5 games back. In a division that's can be had easily. It's not a good division right now. And you are part of the problem. Maybe the biggest problem, part of the problem. Because the A's, we didn't expect to be good. The Rangers, I'm delighting in them coming back to earth. But it's right there for you. And you're not giving yourself the best chance to win. And that's probably the biggest problem with this Astros season. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. I'll talk to you then.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to the show. Sean and I are commiserating over EA College Football 25. Just using our breaks to read up on things. But I like to talk to Eric. Eric generally talks about the Astros and then one other thing that I'm never prepared for. What's up, Eric?
Guys, or Bill, do you think they will trade Presley or Bregman before the trade deadline if, you know, the Astros season continues like it's going? Also, which Marvel movie are you excited for? Blade, Captain America, Fantastic Four? And are they ever going to make a Thundercats movie?
That was the one I wasn't prepared for. There's always something. I can't answer you about the Thundercats. I barely remember watching the Thundercats when I was a kid. I remember that. Wasn't it like Thundercats Ho? I think that was like the slogan or something from the leader. I don't remember. I'm going to say doubtful. But you know, they brought Transformers back. Anything can come back. It just needs the right push. As far as the one I'm most looking forward to is Blade. I'm a big fan of Blade. Like Blade 3 wasn't very good with Wesley Snipes. Mahershala Ali is the new Blade. If they just don't screw up Blade for me. That's all I'm looking for. I like vampire movies. It's a vampire, not with the heart of gold, but a vampire who kills other vampires. I'm down with that. Just make it good. It's been delayed. Mahershala didn't like the initial script, so they're reworking it. That's not a great beginning, but hopefully it is something he likes and he can do it justice. So I'm in. Blade is clearly the one I'm most interested in. I like kind of the dark version of Marvel where it could go. If we're going to have vampires, we'll have different monsters as well. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. The sports question. Okay, I guess I got to talk about sports. Ugh, sports. What can you get for Bregman and Presley right now? They're both bad. Presley probably has more value. Who needs a light-hitting third baseman right now? Bregman, Bregman's past could convince a team that maybe in a different location he could be better. But are you trading? You're not going to trade very much for him. And then are you going to sign him to a deal? And is he going to agree to want to play at this spot, or does he want to reach free agency? Those are things that are going to hamper a potential deal. You know, that's stuff that could be worked out before the trade comes to fruition. Is he willing to sign it in this new spot? And if that happens, I'm sure the Astros could recoup more if this is going to lead to a long-term deal in Bregman's new team. The Presley thing, once again, who's trading for him? You would imagine it would have to be a contender. And does a contender want a broken eighth inning guy who wants to be a ninth inning guy? What contender is looking for that? You want a guy to come in and put out fires. And all Presley has proven he can do is start him. And it's funny to watch Ryan Stanek close out the game yesterday. Oh, yeah, I remember you. Didn't you play for us when we were good? Ryan Stanek got the last two outs in last night's ball game. You know, if they were better, if they had better years, the Astros wouldn't be trading them because the team would be better. But now they're bad, and it may lead to the Astros being sellers, despite what Dana Brown said. I get pushing that narrative early on. You're not a seller. Yes, you believe you can turn it around. I'm down with the GM saying that in early May and in April, and we're still only in late May. I don't think you're getting very much for those two guys until they can prove that they can reach a level that will want anyone to take them on. Like, I'm going to bring on – why am I bringing on Bregman? Why am I giving up anything for Bregman right now if I'm a team looking to win games?
Yeah, how much would you need a third baseman?
Yeah, how desperate do you have to be to get this Alex Bregman? And then are you guaranteeing him you're going to give him money?
Or at least like be on the inside track to re-sign him after the year. Would you want to do that?
What are his demands?
You would not be able to meet his demands, because I imagine his demands would not be based in
this reality.
Yeah, it would not be based off of the 2024's production.
No,
he wouldn't be like, yeah, pay me like I'm a 219 hitter or whatever.
Pay me like the guy who used 3 days to talk about cream rising to the top. Pay me like that guy.
Where I hit all my home runs until last night.
He did have a two-run home run. I credit him for that. And like I said, he kind of wiped that all away with his throwing error in the eighth inning. He's a guy who's going to revert back to his past and go, I'm not this guy. I'm the guy who stares at the camera, who has the swagger. I'm that guy, not the 2024 version of me. And any team's going to go, no, you're the 2024 guy. Why would I think you're that other guy?
We're trading for the 2024 guy.
We're signing
the 2024 guy.
Your former team got 2024 guy like prospects in return. We didn't have to give up anything because you're not pitching. You're not hitting like the 2017 through 2023 guy. You're the 2024 guy until proven otherwise. So, sure, they could trade him, but what might hamper the Astros most is thinking they're not going to get a great return. And, of course, it's this ugly cycle because you're not getting a great return because now you have to trade him because your team stinks, partly because he stinks. So it all eats itself. And the Astros are at a point where I don't think trading Bregman would be a good idea. Maybe the hope of him getting better is a better option than trading him for nothing. And that's where we are, trading cornerstone pieces. Or talking about trading cornerstone pieces for absolutely nothing. A bag of balls, I guess, as baseball people would put it. Might actually up the prospect rankings in the Astros farm system a bag of baseballs, considering how they're talked about. I'm not an expert on the Astros minor league system, but how they're talked about, maybe the bag of balls would be the fourth best prospect. I don't know.
You know who's in the Astros minor league system now?
Lo Perfido?
Yeah. The Astros just swapped out Lo Perfido for Abreu for their minor league
That's
system.
That's right.
So the numbers should be going up.
That's right. It's like when a major league club in any sport goes, hey, after the trade deadline, we're going to get one of our injured player back. It's like getting an all-star back. The Astros minor league system is like, hey, it's like getting one of our top prospects back. All of a sudden, we got a better farm system.
27th, baby.
Love it. Sean's not joking about that, by the way. That's pretty much where they're
ranked. I know at the end of last year, they're 29th behind the Angels, or I guess ahead of the Angels. Yes.
They haven't moved very much.
No.
They're still right in that low 20s area.
They've gone up a little bit.
Yeah, they're still right in that area of one of the worst farm systems in baseball, and they've been able to overcome it. Hasn't been the case this season. We got plenty to discuss. Appreciate it, Eric. Well, any other calls about Thundercats or, I don't know, maybe you think My Little Pony gets a feature-length film? I don't know. We can talk about that when you call the next time. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Lance Zierlein here. Listen, you don't have to suffer any longer. I know a lot of you out there have been dealing with knee, hip, shoulder, back problems. If you've got pains in the joint that never go away, it's a chronic problem. That's inflammation you're dealing with. And QC Kinetics has advanced treatments that harness your body's ability to restore and repair damaged tissue. It's called regenerative medicine, and I'm talking about lasting joint pain relief. Now you can walk and run and hike and play golf and move again pain-free. Do the things that you've loved to do in the past, but you haven't been able to do. And this is all without shots and the steroids, the pain medicine, the surgery, the downtime. You don't have to deal with that. Their advanced protocols have enabled tens of thousands of patients to reclaim their mobility. Stop putting it off. It's only going to get worse unless you're able to get it taken care of with QC Kinetics. Make sure you go to the website for your free consultation. That's QCKinetics.com. 4 locations in Houston, QCKinetics.com. Maestro Dobel. If you enjoy tequila, this is the name to know. I'm drinking the Añejo right now, and this is what I love about Maestro Dobel. It's the variety of excellent tequilas they've created, all with different flavor profiles. The Silver, Reposado, the Añejo, Diamante, and Humido all show off Maestro Dobel's mastery of the art of tequila making, so you get a variety of complex aromas, flavors, and finishes. You're going to truly love making your cocktails with Maestro Dobel. Find Maestro Dobel anywhere liquor is sold. Maestro Dobel.
The Timberwolves found a way to close out a game. We won't have two sweeps in the conference finals. The Timberwolves beat the Mavs last night in Dallas. It was a game where Karl-Anthony Towns does what he does. Dumb fouls that eventually led to him fouling out. He made a number of big shots late. You got to credit him. Maybe the 1,500 jumpers paid off. He was a different player beyond the arc and overall just shooting. He had a good night from the field. I think 25 points in only 29 minutes because of the foul trouble. Anthony Edwards got to the bucket early, and then his jump shot kind of eluded him during the middle of the game. But he did make a couple of big buckets late, had a nice move in the paint. I think it made Gafford and Derrick Jones Jr. crash into each other, kept that pivot foot down, banked the shot in. So the Wolves find a way. And this is a team who, much like the Pacers, had been in all these games. You know, the Pacers weren't in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. But other than that, it's been 7 consecutive games where the older team had found a way until last night. The Mavs looked mortal down the stretch. And honestly, the Mavs have made enough plays to go up 3-1, but I would credit the Timberwolves' ineptitude for some of that too. I keep thinking back to a play late in, I think, either game two or game one where Jaden McDaniels is under the rim. He dribbles into a place he shouldn't have. And it's a semi-fast break transition. He thinks he has a chance at a layup. And then he thinks he sees Rudy Gobert on the baseline. Rudy Gobert vacates the baseline, gets to the center of the paint, and now Jaden Daniels has nowhere to throw the basketball. He throws it away, and then the Mavs go back and hit a three to take the lead. That was kind of how these games were going. The Wolves would have a chance to wrest control of the game, and they would throw it away. And they tried to last night. Luka got the 4-point play. It was late in the ball game, so a lot of things would have had to happen to go the Mavs' way. But hey, Anthony Edwards, I don't know why you're as close to Luka as you are when you're up by 2 possessions, but he's close. Luka gets the foul called, knocks down the 3, and of course Luka misses the free throw. So it didn't really come back to kill the Wolves. My only problem with them winning is I don't think they're going to win the series, which means all we're doing is potentially having a Mav player get injured to help Boston's cause. That's all I'm focused on. Can the Mavericks get through the series, win it without a player getting hurt? Because if I have to sit through another final or not another finals, sit through another series where the Celtics are already the favorite and then a key member of the opponents of the opponent is not able to play. What am I going to do? Nothing, actually. But I don't want to see it, I guess is my point. I was leading to somewhere and go, you're not going to do anything. But the point, I don't want to see it. Can we get a healthy team on the other side? That's my – I actually want the Wolves – I want the Wolves to win. I'm not a – why would I want the Mavericks to win? There's nothing all that likable about that team. Luka's a whiner and complainer. Kyrie has his off-the-court things, whether you care about that or not. So I don't care. P.J. Washington, Gafford.
Yeah, P.J. Washington.
Whatever.
You're not a big P.J. Washington head?
There's nothing about him I find particularly fun. Hmm. No. I don't care. So I was rooting for the Wolves before this series started, and I'm not deluding myself into thinking, well, they got one.
That's just get one at home.
This is what the Celtics –
now all the pressure's on
– that's what the Celtics were doing last year when they took game four from the Heat in the conference finals on the road, and Jaylen Brown was like, don't let us get one. And you got three, and then you lost in game seven at home.
Don't let them get a one.
So this is what the – and this is what Anthony Edwards was talking to Luka Garza with all people before the game. He goes, they should put us away now, Luka. They should put us away. Is it Luke? What's his name? It's not Luka Garza. It is Luka Garza.
This is the first series in NBA history
with two Lukas. Yeah. There's a clear difference in the two.
Whoa. What's the difference?
One of them's a superstar. The other doesn't get off the bench. Yeah.
One guy you didn't know if that was his name.
That too. I felt like I remembered him from the Big Ten.
Yeah, Iowa.
Yeah. Wasn't he the Big Ten player of the year?
Yeah, he was Zach Edey before Zach Edey.
And then he dropped weight to get into NBA shape but doesn't play because he's got a skill set.
He's too skinny now.
He's got if he was bigger. He just has a skill set that doesn't fit the current NBA game. And look, there are two seven-footers, then Naz Reid, who's like 6'9 or whatever. There's no spot for Garza to play. And then you got Slow-Mo out there playing too. Slow-Mo is Ryan Anderson. Now, Kyle Anderson's nickname, if you didn't know. Kyle Anderson, who was given a lot of credit by Wolves fans for directing Karl Anthony Towns into a shot that gave them a good margin and led to eventually to a win.
He also locked up Luka Doncic.
Don't tell Luka that.
Locked him up.
If I'm Kyle Anderson, I don't want anyone saying that. You can think.
I don't know how Luka responds.
You can think it, but don't say it because I don't want Luka thinking, oh, okay, people think Kyle Anderson.
I was walking down the street today. No one thought that Luka could score on Kyle Anderson.
First of all, that's a lie. You're not walking. Who's walking anywhere in this city? That's a lie. That's the biggest.
I was walking into the building.
And you didn't meet anyone who wanted to talk about Kyle Anderson locking down Luka?
Everyone was already talking about Slow-Mo. And they're like, yeah, no, put Luka in a box.
That's not true. The only conversation you had about sports before you started this show was a Reed Shepard conversation with one of the interns.
Yeah.
Who he thinks the Rockets should take Reed Shepard. And you had to disassociate yourself from that conversation.
It's like, okay.
All right, enough. I'm not actually here to talk to you. We just happened to start a conversation. Then you're telling me the Rockets just spend the third pick overall on Reed. By the way, the interns, as I walk by to the bathroom, they're having a conversation about the latest course they played on.
Hmm.
Did John?
Like disc golf?
No.
Oh.
Real golf.
Whoa.
They're more Johns than Lances.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the crop we have this year. Reed Shepard. What'd you say? Reed Shepard truthers and golf talk.
Joe was recruiting out of Kincaid High School is what you said.
Yeah, well, doesn't seem like I'm wrong.
Day one, that was your first impression. Day two, back though.
I feel like it's been confirmed. Sources have.
We don't know. It's not confirmed that he was recruiting out of Kincaid.
He recruited Kincaid types. I don't know if they went to Kincaid, but he recruited the types.
They would have fit in.
You know, like the Baltimore Ravens don't always grab the same like players from the same school. I mean, school or program, but they recruit types of players, and that's what Joe George did. He recruited a type. Kincaid, hey, live your lives, interns. Play golf. Bother the producers about Reed Shepard. Got to talk to someone about it.
Don't do that.
Bother a specific producer. Bother BMAC about Reed Shepard.
Can we wait until after the finals before we talk about this terrible draft? That's really my big point. Is just why are we talking about this terrible draft right now?
Truthfully, the best thing that could happen is the Rockets trade that pick on draft night for a star. Although they're not limited to waiting. as soon they could trade it before, I think.
Yes.
I don't know how the NBA calendar works. Can you make trades after the finals, before the draft? I'm not sure exactly when that happens.
Oh, yeah. Technically, I think the guy would still just have a Rockets hat on.
Yeah.
But you can agree to
it. You can agree to a deal. Yes. That would be the best course of action for the Rockets. And speaking of the Rockets, on the other side, I'm going to ask Sean about a shooter that some people are speculating would fit the Rockets' needs. And he's not Reed Shepard. He is an NBA player, and he played on a contender.
Yeah.
Pseudo contender. And maybe he is next in line to help the Rockets in one of their biggest issues. That's shooting. We'll talk about that on the other side.